Well, good morning, everyone. As Pastor Kai said, we have a small crowd. We have the men out on retreat this week, men's retreat. So if you haven't been already, just pray for them and pray for a safe return, drive home. And our congregation has also been dealing with a lot of sickness, a lot of physical issues, some even life-threatening. So if you haven't joined us in our prayer meeting, we do invite you. We are praying for all these people that are being affected by whatever ailment is affecting their health, and they need the Lord right now, and they mainly need His comfort. But anyway, this morning I wanted to talk about a few things. Obviously, now I'm not a comedian, but I do like to share a joke from time to time, and this week I read one that made me laugh. It says, one balmy evening in the South Pacific, a Navy ship spotted smoke rising from small huts on an uncharted island. Upon arriving at the shore, the Navy ship crew was met by a shipwreck survivor. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 5 years." The captain replied, "If you're all alone, then why do I see three huts?" The survivor answered, "Well, I live in one, and I go to church in the other." And then the captain asked, "What about the third hut?" He said, "Well, that's where I used to go to church." I love Darren's laugh. He'll laugh at any joke. But we can laugh at this joke, but the reality is that many people today leave churches looking for the next best thing. And they usually discover that the next church doesn't really have everything they're looking for either. So they end up hopping from church to church over the years, looking to be served in some way or manner, and it never quite meets their expectations. And sadly, what many of these people don't realize is that God is not asking them to find the most perfect church, because it doesn't exist. Just for the fact that they go there, it's not going to exist. But what God wants from us is for us to be faithful in our service to Him, in our service to Him and in our service to others, where God has currently led us, what church He's led us to. Now, last week we began a series called Love the Lord with All Your Heart. This series is based on the greatest commandment given to us by Jesus Christ. It is found in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." All the commandments, Jesus says, are summed up by this one commandment, and then loving others. This commandment is directed at everyone, but it is especially important for those who are Christian. I started off this series last week by talking about how we can love God by giving back to Him because of what He has already provided for us. That everything that we have that which is good, including our own money, really belongs to God. All of it. And God is not even asking for all of your money. He would just like us to give a portion, our first fruits, our best offering, which again is just a small portion of everything that He has already given us. What we give back to God should always, always come out from our love for Him. This money, as I spoke of last week, is used to help grow Christ's kingdom, to help grow this church, to help minister to people. And God will bless those who give from their heart, because God first loved us by offering us His first fruit, His best, by giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all of our sins. God gave us everything we need. Most importantly, that relationship with Him for all eternity through His own Son's death and resurrection. Now, before moving on in this series, though, God left His church. I want to share this, that He left His church with two warnings that I feel must be shared today. These warnings were left by Jesus to the churches. There were seven churches, and they're found in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is considered an end times prophecy book that can, I'll admit, be tough to interpret sometimes. There's a lot of imagery shared by the Apostle Paul in this book of Revelation concerning what is to come upon this world shortly before Jesus returns for his second coming. Although we are blessed from reading all of God's Word, the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible where Jesus specifically says that anyone who hears the words from this book will be blessed. That's an interesting thought, considering the words and the topic that are found within this book. Most of the book of Revelation has pretty scary things spoken of regarding what is coming, what is to come upon the earth before Jesus returns. But why I think Jesus says we are blessed if we hear the words from this book is because we will never be able to stand firm in Christ as believers when these events spoken of in the book of Revelation become a reality in this world. The book of Revelation begins with letters that Jesus himself gave to the Apostle John to share with seven churches at that time. These letters are meant to be an encouragement to the churches, and they were going under extreme persecution at that time as well. So they needed to be lifted up and encouraged by Jesus. So Jesus had John write a letter. But it's also an encouragement to us because of what is to come upon this world and what is already starting to come upon this world. However, these letters also contain warnings and even rebukes to churches on areas where some of the churches were struggling in certain areas. Today I'm going to just share two of these warnings to these churches mentioned in these letters, because these warnings really do apply to us today, maybe even more so. These warnings will still point us back to the commandment by God to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In the book of Revelation, as I said, there are seven churches that Jesus had the Apostle John write letters to. And these letters were in Jesus' own words. The first letter I want to focus on this morning is the letter written to the church in Ephesus. We will start in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus begins his letter to this church by commending them for their patient work and endurance for God, and not giving in to the evil that surrounded this church at that time. Jesus even commends this church for standing up to that evil for his name's sake and not growing weary in the face of pressure that was coming upon them from the world around them. But after commending this church for all the good things they were doing, Jesus then gives them a rebuke and tries to correct them for this one thing. It's found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. This is what Jesus says to this church in Ephesus. "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." That's an interesting rebuke, especially after all the good things that Jesus said they were doing. The church in Ephesus was doing lots of good things for God, but Jesus still had this one thing against them and told them to repent of it. They were doing good deeds, even standing up for righteousness in God, but they were losing their focus on Jesus Christ, who was supposed to be and is their first love. It's easy for a Christian and even an entire church to think they are doing good works for God, but still lose focus on why we are doing these good works in the first place. We can get caught up in thinking that we are somehow better than everyone else who are not standing up for God and obeying Him. You know, God's not looking for someone to bow down to Him in obedience as some slave. When we speak of obedience to God, it should always come from our heart and our love for Him, not out of some religious duty. People who don't know Jesus Christ will oftentimes respond to the call of repentance and obedience by mocking God instead. If they have no idea how much God loves them. Because we need to remember that God loved them first. And Jesus gave His church a big responsibility, which is to speak the truth in a world full of lies, but also to speak it in love. That love begins with Christ's love for us, and then our love for Him in return. In this day, we know of the evil that is within this world. We see it and we hear it all around us, all the time. There's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's hatred. We see it on our television screens every night when you watch the news. At prayer group on Wednesday nights, we often pray for the Holy Spirit to remove the scales or blinders off the eyes of the unbelievers that we are praying for each night and reaching out to. And then when we go out and speak the truth of the gospel and love to those people who Jesus wants a relationship with, we're praying as we're doing that for Jesus to help them understand the love that He has for them. But we have to be careful when we approach some unbeliever by speaking this truth. We need to remember, as Jesus said, where we came from. We need to remember the grace that we were given. And we need to remember how much God loves us, all of us, and how much He loves those who don't know Him yet. When someone rejects Jesus, it can be easy to think to ourselves, who wouldn't want to accept this good news? But we need to get honest with ourselves, and that's what Jesus was getting with this church in Ephesus. He was trying to get honest with them so they can be mainly honest with themselves. Many of the people that we are praying for and even speaking this truth to will not come into a saving faith with Jesus Christ and repent unless we first have this love of God within us. Now, sure, it does take the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within every believer. But if the believer forgets and ignores their first love, Jesus Christ, in our lives, the words that we speak will most likely fall on deaf ears with unbelievers. I know this truth stings a little bit, and I'm sure it stung the Ephesus church when they thought they were doing the right thing. But if a Christian is always living and preaching to be against something, even sin, and not showing the joy in our relationship with Jesus Christ, all we are doing really is preaching religion. And the fact is, most people think Christians are just in chains in their own religion and usually won't want anything to do with it. Now, we know as believers that that isn't true, that Jesus released us from our chains, the chains of the evil deception in this world, and even the chains from the law. But are we living out our lives in this fact? And we can only live our lives out in freedom from the law and our freedom from sin by first not abandoning our first love, Jesus Christ. Jesus always has to be the center of everything we are doing for God. When we make our focus on Jesus, the Holy Spirit will not only give us the power to live a life of freedom, He will also begin to shine His light out through the believer, which will be seen by others. They will see the joy. They will see the peace. And preaching the gospel will become much more effective. The danger in abandoning our first love, even in our good works for God, is that we can become legalistic about what we're doing. And even to come across to unbelievers as arrogant. Now, I'm not blaming the state of the world on the church, as some like to do. Or even the church standing up for what is righteous and good. We need to do these things. Otherwise, this world will fall completely into darkness. The church is the light But we need to be careful in taking care of that first love, our relationship with Jesus. In Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul says, should be up on the screen, he says, "For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And we need to pay attention to that word, all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is really what Jesus is telling the church in Ephesus to remember, that they were forgetting. Remember the place where you have fallen before you were saved by Jesus. Remember the gift that Jesus gave you, which is grace. This should cause every believer in Jesus Christ to rejoice in God's mercy, in His grace, and in our found relationship with Jesus. Now, in ministry, pastors try to help one another. They try to help one another from not getting burnt out. Burnout is a real danger for a pastor. Each week, pastors are sharing from God's Word and preaching the gospel to many people. And when they don't see many lives being changed by the gospel, they could start doubting that maybe they're not good enough, or maybe they're doing something wrong. And the fact is, it's not just pastors that this happens to. Everyday Christians can get burnt out as well. When Christians are out there in the community standing up for God, standing up for righteousness, sharing the good news, and then having that message continually rejected or mocked, burnout is usually just around the corner. What burnout does is cause the unbeliever to start pulling back. They may not participate in Bible studies as much, or church as much. They stop sharing the good news because they don't want to be rejected. They even start getting frustrated with other believers, and sometimes may even fall back in deliberate sin. So what can we do if we find ourselves caught up in a lot of good works, but have abandoned our first love? Well, Jesus says, the first thing to do is repent of this. Repentance is simply turning around in the opposite direction and just change of mind, change of focus. Okay, it's not that Jesus wants us to repent of good works. He wants us to repent because, or the Ephesus church, that is, He wanted them to repent because they lost their first love. Abandoning our first love simply means we stop doing this as believers. We stop believing. We stop trusting in that first love. We may not be paying as much attention to our own relationship with Jesus as we're doing our good works for Him. So if you realize today that you're going to church each week and even doing good works for God, but have abandoned your first love, or maybe you forgot about your first love, simply repent. Go back to Jesus. Spend time with Him. Ask Him to forgive you. And He will pick up that relationship right where it was left off. And then make it a priority to spend time alone with Jesus. Spend time alone in His Word daily. Read the Scriptures. And then talk to Jesus about what you just read. Jesus loves it when you talk to Him, even if you don't understand. There's times when I was reading preparing for the sermon, reading these verses, and I had to sit in my office for a couple hours asking Jesus, "I don't understand what you're talking about here, Jesus." Talk to Him. He'll show you. And if you do this, then go out. Then you go out and do good works for God. You will then see God work through your life in miraculous ways and impact the lives you touch each day. Burnout won't become an issue because everything you're doing is out of love, not out of some religious duty. There is one other church that I want to focus on today that Jesus gave a different warning to in Revelation. This was the church in Laodicea. Most of today's biblical scholars agree that the problem that this church in Laodicea had is many of the same problems the Christian church today has. You may hear it said that the church today is the Laodicean church. I'm not talking particularly about this church. I'm just talking in general. And I want to say first that I don't think this church at Living Hope has this problem. But we always, always have to be on guard against it. Be on guard that we don't fall into this pattern. I think when we read these verses, you will pick up on what this pattern is and recognize that this is a problem found in many churches today. Let's read what this issue Jesus had with this church in Laodicea. It is found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. Jesus says to this church, "I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you will become rich and with white clothes to wear, and so you can cover your shameless nakedness and sail to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." That's tough words to this church from Jesus. But I love how Jesus ends this discipline, this rebuke of this church by saying, "Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline." Jesus always rebukes and disciplines us, or those who are in relationship with him, through love. He's trying to get us back to that love. Even what he says can sting a little bit sometimes, maybe even a lot, but he's trying to drive us back into love with him. This church in Laodicea was neither cold nor hot. Now, ever drank like a lukewarm cup of coffee? I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty gross. Some people today like iced coffee. I like iced coffee. Iced coffee's pretty good. But lukewarm coffee, you just want to spit it out. It either has to be hot or ice cold. Lukewarm, no. I love the imagery that Jesus used here to describe this church in Laodicea. When Jesus said they were neither hot nor cold, they were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. You would think, why would Jesus wish a church to be cold instead of lukewarm? I think the best way for me to answer this question is for me to share a story from a pretty famous pastor in our country today. Pastor Chan led a church, what many people today would consider a mega church. This is Pastor Francis Chan. Pastor Chan is a very talented and very gifted speaker down in California, pastor. People from all over the community would come to hear Pastor Chan speak at his church. "Come hear our pastor speak. He's so good." And his sermons were very good, very biblical. They were also very entertaining. He told better jokes than me. Pastor Chan had that kind of charisma when he spoke. But Pastor Chan started realizing something was very, very wrong within the church that he was leading. He realized his church was becoming to be the Laodicean church. Even though they were a very big church, they had trouble getting people to serve in their church, in their community. But more importantly, he was seeing that they weren't growing spiritually. Many people in his church looked and acted no different from the unsaved people in their community that they were trying to reach for Jesus. Pastor Chan actually said he wasn't even sure if many of the people in his church were actually saved. Wow, that's a pretty devastating realization for a pastor. And this was a mega church. When Pastor Chan realized this, he realized it was also affecting his own personal relationship with Jesus. He was starting to get burnt out. Pastor Chan admitted to himself that he was beginning, though, to be the star of that church instead of Jesus. And this deeply, deeply troubled and concerned Francis Chan. So he repented. And he asked Jesus to forgive him. And then asked Jesus what he was supposed to do about the church that he was still leading. Francis Chan spent a few weeks in prayers over this. He also spoke and prayed with his wife on what was going on between him and God. So his wife went to prayer as well. A few weeks later on a Sunday morning, Pastor Chan walked up into the pulpit in front of the masses that came each week to hear him speak. And Francis Chan read from Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. He went on in a sermon to describe what a lukewarm church looked like and then pointed to his congregation. Well, first he pointed to himself, and then he pointed to his congregation, and he said, "We are the lukewarm church." And Jesus is about to spit us out of his mouth if we don't repent. Then Francis Chan shocked his congregation by saying that he was stepping down as lead pastor because he said he was part of the problem. Now, Francis Chan founded this church that he was leading, and the church board refused to accept his resignation. They told him to take some time away, get his head right. Sometimes later, Francis Chan took his wife and his children and left the country altogether to go minister as missionaries over in Indonesia. I think they spent about a year over there, and it changed his life. The people he was ministering to were very, very financially poor. The Christian church there was also under extreme pressure from Muslim extremists. But Francis Chan saw something in the lives of those Christians in Indonesia that again changed his life forever and changed his ministry. He saw the power of Christ working through the people that he was supposed to be there pastoring. What Pastor Chan came to understand after returning back to the States was that the love of money, the love of the materialistic world, was what was making his church lukewarm. There's a warning also found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Now notice it doesn't say that money in itself is evil. Money's not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. And it wasn't that even Pastor Chan was, in his book, he wasn't even concerned that the people in his home church had good jobs, made good money. He rejoiced that they had good jobs, had good money. They were a very well-off community. What he was more concerned with was what these people in his church were living for. They were living for the materialistic world. Even living to say that they went to church, that they had this most awesome pastor speaker. The people in this church, their Christian life was all about worldly prestige and not much about Jesus. When Pastor Chan moved back to the States, he moved his family into a low-income, mostly African-American community. And he began ministering to the very people in that new community, and they were coming to Christ in droves. And it didn't take long before his church board realized he was back in the States. And they came calling, asking him to come back as their pastor. Now, Pastor Chan agreed, because he knew God still had a calling for him at that church that he left behind. Those people in his church were still very important to him, but more importantly, they were important to God. That first Sunday, Pastor Chan returned to his church. He gave a very famous sermon. You can find it online. And it's called "The Lukewarm Church." Instead of pointing the finger, though, this time at his congregation again, Pastor Chan called his church to repentance. And most of his church, people in his church, did just that. This church is now known around the community, and actually around the country, to be one of the, not only to be one of the biggest churches in the country, but serving. They serve the poor. They serve the needy. They serve the orphans. They have wonderful programs within their church. It's a very loving church. but it took repentance. They weren't cold before. They were lukewarm. When Jesus says, this is one of the questions I was asking God, is why would you rather us be cold or hot? I understand being hot for the Lord, but why would you rather us be cold than lukewarm? And I believe the answer to that question is because when you are lukewarm, you are deceived. You are deceived into thinking everything is okay with your relationship with Jesus Christ, and it isn't. When you're cold, you know your relationship with Jesus Christ is. The unbelievers are in better condition than the lukewarm person. Because the unbelievers at least can admit, well, yeah, I know I'm not right with God, but I don't want anything to do with them. Jesus says that's a better condition to be in than a lukewarm, because Jesus can work with that. A lukewarm person, just getting real here. There's a quote by John Wesley where he said, "Light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come from miles to watch you burn." Now this summer, we have a lot of events planned for the church. We had one this last night. A lot of fun events, just times of fellowship. And we plan on going out into the community. We have some pamphlets that I put together to share information about church and just give us opportunities to talk about God to people who need Jesus so badly. We want to get to know people in our community, find out what their needs are, and then find out ways to meet those needs. The church staff can't do all that on their own. We need everyone in the church community to help. However, if we are all on fire for Jesus and taking care of our first love, remembering where we came from, repenting what we do with our money, what we do with our time, even where we place our priorities, I can tell you, although we will have to go out into the community, we have to do that. If this church gets on fire, like John Wesley was talking about for God, they'll start showing up here. That's the Holy Spirit moving then. Not saying we shouldn't go out to reach out to people, but there's been many times in history where churches have gotten on fire for God and people start walking through their doors. So here's what I want to do at this church, what I think we need to do. The first thing is what we're already doing, discipleship, learning more about God together as a family. We need to continue to build on discipleship within Living Hope, finding prayer partners, finding Bible study partners, doing those things, which is all of us learning about God, getting to know Jesus better. We will continue with these discipleship classes, including there's a scripture class coming up soon that Pastor Kai is leading. We'll start small groups up in the fall, you know, meet at people's homes, start studying God's word that way, just to get to know God, making God the center of everything we do. The second thing is placing a higher priority on serving God together as a church. Aaron this summer is starting a kids club where families can bring their kids on a weeknight. There will be activities for kids such as art projects, games, Bible stories, all focused around Jesus. There will be an emphasis on getting unchurched families to come to this weekly kids club. But again, Erin's going to need help ministering. She can't do it on her own. There will be more information coming on that and opportunities to volunteer. We will be serving our community. I'm looking for people to give me ideas where we can go out and serve. I'm open to anything where we can serve the community for Christ. So let me know about it. In the meantime, I will continue to work with the staff to find opportunities for us to go out and serve the community. And lastly, but certainly not least, let's all grow closer to Jesus together. Spend time, tell people, find accountability partners to say, just ask, hey, have you spent time alone with the Lord this week? And when it comes to prayer, meeting on Wednesday night, we need to be a praying church. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit moving around here. Because that's what's going to grow God's kingdom. That's what's going to... Jesus is not... When we're doing these things, when we're praying, when we're serving, when we're spending time alone with God, I will never have to worry if Jesus... the day Jesus returns, if he returns in our lifetime, which is a possibility, we'll never have to worry about Jesus saying, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And I don't think we're there. But we have to guard against that. Now, next week, we will continue on in this series discussing taking risks for God. Anyone God used powerfully in the Scripture, God did so with people who took risks for him, who trusted him, who had faith in him, whether it was Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Ruth. The list just goes on and on. I heard it said if God didn't show up for these men and women of faith in Scripture, they would have been in serious, serious trouble. But God always showed up. First, because of his love for them and for their love back in return. That's what we're going to continue to go on through this series. And my hope and my prayer is as we do that together as a family, that we're going to see a movement of God here like we've never seen before. Let's pray. As we go to prayer, I do want to lift up Adam Gibson again to you. And to the Lord, that we can all pray for him. He's hanging on. Not sure if he's going to make it. So keep him in your prayers. I'm going to go see him this afternoon. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenging scriptures in your word. Sometimes it's easy for us in our humanity just to, we don't mean to get lukewarm. It just happens just because of our sinful nature. And I know, Lord, you say even when you correct us, Lord, you say you correct us because you love us. And you loved us so much you sent Jesus for us. And Lord, I would pray that as we go about the weeks here, that we'll remember you through your word, even the challenging scriptures that we read, Lord, that those challenging words that you give your church, Lord, will drive us into repentance, into your arms, so we can go out and make more disciples for your kingdom. But Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do this. We know you don't want anyone here to ever get burnt out doing the work for you. We know that is the case. And we know how easy it is that can happen. But Lord, we also know that it is through love, through that greatest commandment that you have given us. If we truly follow what you say about love, we will never get burnt out. It will be a joy to do the work for you. And I pray that, Lord, that you would give us that joy, that you would show us the joy that is in you as we go out and do the important work for your kingdom. Be with us for the rest of this day. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.